स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं स्वजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरि यत्कृपायतमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधव. So we are going to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, one specific verse from 3rd canto, 25th chapter, Shlok 21. This verse says, Titikshava karunikaha surida sarva bhutanam ajata satravah sanatana sadavah sadhu bhushanam. Which means, Titikshava karunaka. This verse is talking about the qualities of a Vaishnava. Titikshava means one who can tolerate. Karunika is one who is extremely merciful. And Surida Sarvadehinam. Sarvadehin is those people possessing bodies or living beings. Surida means a friend. So friend of all living beings. Ajata satravaha. Ajata, jan, the word jan in Sanskrit, like genesis, comes from the Sanskrit word janma, like generic, genesis, janma, aja. The verb root jan means to take birth. Ajata means one who has not taken birth. And ajata shatru is one whose enemy has still not taken birth. Right? Which means a person who has no enemies. And Prabhupada translates this as, a devotee is peaceful because he has no enemies. Ajata shatra shantavaha. Shantaha. He is peaceful, completely peaceful. And such sadhu, sadavaha, are sadhu bhushana. They are the crest jewels. You know what a crest jewel is? The jewel on the top of, on a crown. He said, such kind of devotees are crest jewels. The Chaitanya Charitamrita further says, Kripalu akrita droho shottya sarasamo nidosha badanno mridu shuchi akinchano. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami lists 26 qualities of a devotee. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Krishna tells Uddhava 28 qualities of a devotee. Right? But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very nicely translated that into Bengali, and Prabhupada translated that into English. I'm taking Prabhupada's version here. Sarva papakaraka shanta krishna ekasarana অকামনী হা স্থির বিজিত সরগুণ মিতভোক অপ্রমত্ত মানদয়া মানি গম্ভীর করুণা মৈত্র কবিদক্ষ মণি। দিজ আর দ্য কোয়ালিটিজ অফ এ ডিভোটি। হি ইজ কৃপালু, হি ইজ মার্সিফুল, হি ইজ অকৃত দ্রোহ, ওয়েন হি ইজ অ্যাট্যাক্ট হি ডাজ নট অ্যাট্যাক ব্যাক, হি ইজ সত্যসার, হি ইজ দি এসেন্স অফ ট্রুথ, and he is sama, he is equal. He is nidosha, he is without flaws. He is vadan, he is magnanimous. He is shuchi, he is clean, and he is akinchana. He is without any material possessions. Sarvopakaraka, he always benefits others. Shanta, he is peaceful. Krishnaika sharana, he says he is always takes shelter of Krishna. Akam, he is desireless. Aniha, he has no expectations. Sthir, he is steady. He is Bijita Saraguna. He has controlled his six urges. Mitabhuk, he eats as much as necessary. Apramatta, he is inebriated. He is steady in mind. His mind is not agitated. Manada, he always gives others respect. Amani, and he does never expect respect back. Gambhir, he is serious, he is grave, he is karuna, he has pathos, he is maitra, he is friendly, he is kavi, he is poetic, and you can also translate kavi as he is wise. Dakha, and he is an expert in what he does. And Mauni, he is silent. So many qualities. At least I feel I am way back in terms of these. But since I have been asked to speak, I'll highlight these qualities in the personality of a great Vaishnava Acharya. Guess who that is?
Lord Jesus.
Yeah. An uncanny example, but a very good example. And there, I was actually looking for quotes on Jesus Christ by Srila Prabhupada, and I figured out that there are 1400 times Srila Prabhupada talks about Jesus Christ in his entire teachings. Actually, sorry, not 1400. It generated 1,860 hits. Prabhupada actually spoke about Jesus Christ so many times. Right? And he also writes in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 6th chapter, verse 27, that a Vaishnava should follow the examples of Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, and also Jesus Christ. And then he also writes in another place, in a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, just like Jesus Christ, he is being crucified and still he is merciful. He is Kripalu, the first quality we spoke about. He was saying, God, these people do not know what they are doing. Please excuse them. This is Sadhu. He is personally being disturbed by the demons, but still he is merciful to the general people. They are suffering for want of Krishna consciousness. So even up to the point of death, he is preaching Krishna Bhakti. Let the people be benefited. What is this material body? Even if I am killed, I am not killed. This body is killed, that's all. This is Sadhu. On one side, he is merciful. On the other side, he is tolerant. Right? And being born in the West, you probably know more about Jesus Christ than me. But tonight is his appearance night. And it behooves, it is appropriate for Vaishnavas to glorify their teachers. And Srila Prabhupada several times said, Jesus Christ is also our Acharya. We have to learn from his example. Right? Several times. So tonight we will glorify Jesus Christ as a Vaishnava. And I won't go according to each and every point, the 26 qualities. We do not have so much time. I mean, we could go on all night. But I'll highlight small sections of his life and try to give commentaries from our scriptures. When he was born in ancient Palestine, and ancient Palestine was not a very pleasant place to live. There was a king called King Herod. And please correct me if I say anything wrong. As I said, you're more of an expert. It's just that I was in a Roman Catholic school for 13 years, and I had my Bible study there. But it has been a while. It has been almost 10 years since. So remind me if I'm wrong. There was King Herod, who was a very cruel king. And at the time when Jesus was born, right, there was a new law that everybody had to register their families. Right? So Joseph took Mary to register at a place, and there he found out that Mary was actually pregnant. And the angels came and told him that this child has been begotten by the Holy Father. He shall be the King of Jews. And Judaism was a prevalent religion in that area, in that part of the world. But as Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati, bhavati means happens. From time to time, religion deteriorates. Right? God comes to give true religion, but at some point of time, due to our drawbacks, due to our desires to enjoy material nature, we twist and mold the principles of religion to suit our own needs. Right? So at one point in time, God had come to Moses and, according to time, place and circumstance, gave him the Ten Commandments. But with time, those were lost. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I spoke this great secret to the sun god, but somehow the parampara broke, and therefore I am telling it to you again. So sometimes the Lord personally comes, sometimes he sends his representatives. Right? So the Lord was personally protecting Christ from the very beginning of his birth. And when Christ was born, three wise men came from the east. Now don't ask me where that east is. Many people speculate it's from India, but I don't know, frankly. What do you think? No. You'd love to believe so, wouldn't it? Well, I don't want to drag myself into any controversy, so let's keep east men from the east, men from the east. And King Herod, he had heard, like, you know, you hear in the Purana there is Akashvani, Bhavishyavani. He had heard a prediction that the King of Jews would be born, and the three wise men had actually come to see the King of Jews. So the king told him, when you see this boy, come and tell me. Right? And his men came to see Christ and gave him gifts of incense, frankincense, and many precious jewels. Right? And then they heard that, do not go back and tell Herod that you've seen this boy. So they escaped. And King Herod found out that he was cheated, he was duped. So he decided, let every kid born in the city be killed above 2 years or below 2 years. Right? And he started as a mass slaughter of babies. And Joseph and Mary somehow escaped with Christ to Egypt. Right. Later on, they came and settled in Nazareth. And there has been also a lot of speculation about, there is a large section of Christ's life which is not documented in the four Gospels, which talk about which is basically a foundation of his biography. And it is said that he actually came to India to learn these concepts of compassion and learn yogic tricks. But again, I don't want to get into any controversy. There has been books written about it. If you're interested, you can always buy them and read them. In 64 BCE, it was like a few years before Christ was born, Palestine was taken over by the Romans. And the Roman Empire was a very powerful empire. Way more powerful than the American Empire today. Or the British Empire few years back. It was very powerful. Right? They could get whatever they wanted. Right? And again, it was not a very pleasant place to live. Right? In the middle, just imagine, just in the middle of a desert. Very hot. And then there were hundreds of other preachers. Right? Religion was a big thing in Judaism. And there was the temple of the Lord, where we'll revisit the temple, which became a place for business. Right? And Bhakti Tirtha Swami, one of the leaders of our movement, was during one of the last days of his life, was mentioning that he sneaked into the Jagannath Puri temple. Have you heard of this? Have you heard of this? Now, the temple of Jagannath in Puri is a very orthodox temple. And they don't allow anybody except non-Indians. You have to be a person of Indian origin to enter the temple. And that too only Hindus, not even Muslims or Christians. So one morning, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is an Afro-American Vaishnava. And his skin color is black. And one morning, he dressed up like a South Indian person, because South Indian persons are pretty dark, and sneaked into the temple. Right? And when he went inside the temple, he was heartbroken. Because the whole, and if anybody of you have been inside, you will know, the whole temple is engaged in commercial activities. They're just selling ghee, or they're selling lamps, or they're selling flowers, or pictures, beads, food. You know, buy, 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 buy. You just have to keep on buying, and if you don't buy, people keep on pestering you. The moment you offer obeisances, you get up, there is a hand right in front of you. Donation. And then, you know, there are people behind you asking for money. When you enter, you have to purchase a ticket. Right? And pure devotees of the Lord are heartbroken to see such degradation of the religion. And in ancient Palestine, this is exactly what happened. In the name of religion, they were practicing sacrifices, they were killing animals, they were doing business, everything except chanting the names of God. And remember that in Judaism, in the Jewish religion, the name of Jehovah is central. It is the most important aspect of their religion. Right? It is considered the key to liberation. But hardly anybody was interested. Right? Such was the times when Christ was born. And as he was growing up, there was another person called John the Baptist. Have you heard of John the Baptist? And John the Baptist was a very, very enthusiastic devotee of the Lord. And he would go out and proclaim, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and you shall go to the kingdom." Right? "Do not commit any more sins. Love is redemption. If you recognize that you have sinned in the past, and if you stop your sinful activities and surrender to God, you know, you shall be liberated." And John the Baptist was preaching in this way, and like we have Diksha in our tradition, in those days they had a ceremony of baptism, right? And Christ, as he grew up, he was one of the people to be baptized by John. Right? So he went, and John the Baptist put him under water, and he said, "Now you're baptized." And it is said in his biographies that when he came up, the whole world changed for him. Right? And Rupa Goswami says in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, "Diksha is divyam gyanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya nashanam." The knowledge by which all your sins are destroyed. Dechike is tattva kovida. Tattva kovida. The intelligent men who know the truth. Right? The learned people. They call this diksha. So, that was real diksha. He just, you know, this initiation changed his perspective of the world. And then, Jesus Christ went out to preach. Right? Somehow, John the Baptist, at that time, was not received very favorably, except for certain sections of people, and he was arrested by Herod. Right? And right after initiation, Christ went to pray for 40 days and 40 nights. And as he was praying, at the end of his prayer, he was emaciated. He was hungry. And then somebody came to him and said, "Hey, you know what? You can get whatever you want. You are special." And took him on the top of the temple of the Lord. He said, "Look down. You can have it all." And Christ said, "No." Then took him on the top of a mountain and said, "Jump. If you say your Lord will protect you, jump." He said, "Do not tempt the Lord." Right? Don't try to challenge. Krishna was saying, you know, some people actually came to Prabhupada and said, "Why can't we see Krishna?" Prabhupada said, "Don't try to see Krishna. Do something so that Krishna will see you." Right? He said, "Don't tempt the Lord." And this person said, "You can have whatever you want. Just, you can be the King of Kings. Just surrender to me. I will fulfill all your desires." And Christ said, "No. I shall only surrender to God, the one Lord, my Master, and to nobody else." Krishna eka sharana. He's read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One who is completely surrendered to Krishna himself and nobody else. At one point when I was a kid, I read this Old Testament, which we are not discussing today. And when Moses got the Ten Commandments, he actually saw, Moses said, "I saw the back of the Lord. He was sitting there and giving me the Ten Commandments," which proves that the Lord is a person. Right? And one of the things he said is, "Do not bow to anybody else other than me, for I, your God, am a jealous God." And for years and years and years, I thought, what kind of a God is he if he's a jealous God? Huh? And then I realized the word jealous has to be understood in the proper context. Because Krishna, you can go anywhere you want. Right? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you can surrender to demigods, you can ask for anything you want, but ultimately what you receive is from me. Right? And then Krishna wants lost souls to actually surrender to him and not be distracted by any other motives and go to anybody else. I understood what it means to be a jealous God. You know, he jealously guards his devotees. And then that was the temptation of Christ. And after that, he went out to preach the message that he had received. The first people he went to preach were fishermen in fishing colonies. And they were pretty ordinary people. They had no idea. And they saw this special person. And he said, "You come with me. Just leave your nets. Don't engage in these material activities anymore. Come with me." And said, "I will turn you from fishermen to fishers of men." And thus he began his preaching career. And after that, with these disciples, he started gathering more and more disciples. And he went around preaching several things, which are, and today afternoon I was discussing with Tapas Prabhu about Christianity and Vaishnavism, and of course it is, he had some training, he knew the Christian tradition pretty well, and we both agreed on one point. He said, the entire Christian religion, you know, of course I'm not talking about the factions and denominations. But the what we get in the New Testament makes complete sense if one is a Vaishnava. And while I was preparing, I saw different versions of the Bible. There are so many versions; it's pretty confusing, you know. And in one version, I saw, "Blessed are the poor." Right? In another version, I saw, "Blessed are the poor in heart." In one version, I saw, "Thou shalt not kill," and the other version, I saw, "Thou shalt not murder." Now, Prabhupada keeps repeating "Thou shalt not murder" several times, and a very important point to understand that in the original version, the word is kill. Right? Now, killing implies all kinds of killing. Right? And Prabhupada says, if you kill even an ant, you have to pay for it. Right? It's not easy. His life is as sacred as yours. But it becomes more convenient if you change the word from kill to murder, because when you talk about murder, it implies only human beings, right? If you think about it, the moment you say murder implies human beings. If you say kill, it is all living entities, including plants. And Prabhupada said we should not even take a leaf without purpose. And during his preaching, he gave a sermon on the mount. I'm just like, whoops, making his life pretty short, just highlighting certain sections. And he said, "Blessed are the poor, for they shall reach the kingdom of heaven." At another point, he said, "Do not build treasures here. Build your treasures in heaven." Heaven means, of course, the home of the Lord. Right? Because wherever you build your treasures, you have to go there. If you make your treasures on this earth, you will stick to this earth. If you make your treasures in the home of the Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, you shall go there. Right? He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Does it remind you? Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnava. Right? He's preaching the same message. He said, "Blessed who thirst and hunger, for they shall be filled." It means, blessed are those who are austere. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He said, "And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Don't we say the same things? We have to be pure in our heart. We have to sincerely call out for Krishna, and then we'll see Krishna. In fact, when we explain the story of Krishna and Kaliya, the example is given that Krishna did not kill Kaliya. Krishna was just having fun with Kaliya. Right? Krishna jumped from the tree on the river, and Kaliya, he woke Kaliya up, and then after some time, Krishna began on the hoods of Kaliya. And Kaliya has been likened to our tongue. See, Kaliya spits poison all the time and creates chaos in this world. And we also spit poison like Kaliya and create chaos for ourselves and others. Right? And chanting the holy names is actually inviting Krishna to dance on our tongue, like he did on the heads of Kaliya. And when Krishna danced on Kaliya's head, Kaliya was completely purified. And Krishna did not kill Kaliya. Krishna said, "Go away." And for the rest of his life, Kaliya engaged in worshipping Krishna. He became pure. And we hear Christ saying, "Blessed are the pure, for they shall see God." The moment we clean our hearts, we will see Krishna in the mantra that we chant, that we utter. Krishna is there with us, around us, all the time. It's just that, you know, like owls cannot see during daylight. We are a little bit like owls. Krishna is dazzling everywhere. It's just that our vision stops us from understanding Him. And then he said, then people started challenging him, that you are trying to destroy the law. And he said, no, 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 you got me wrong. I said, I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Right? I am building up on what my previous acharyas have taught me. Right? And that is the nature of a real acharya. Yes, on one hand, he was destroying, we'll come to it, the temple. Remember, I told you the story of the temple. But his main motive was not to destroy, but to fulfill. And he was teaching other things like, do not show off your charity. He said, do not give charity just to show people how big I am. Do not pray in the middle of the street so that people observe you. Learn to be humble. Learn to be honest. Honest with others. Honest with yourself. And in one of the sermons he said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what does loving your neighbor mean? Our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy explains that Kanishthadhikaris, or new devotees of the Lord, or those who have just discovered, who have started in the process of Krishna Bhakti, sometimes they do not see beyond ringing the bell in the temple. Right? They do not have a larger vision. They do not understand that everybody is connected to Krishna. Somehow some remember and some are forgotten. Right? They have a very narrow vision. What he implies here is learn to love people around you, Vaishnava especially. Right? And another time, you know, he grew more and more popular, there were enormous number of people following him, and at some time it was so overwhelming that he had to live in a boat. And even when he was in a boat, there were people, hundreds and thousands of them, standing on the shore. When he would go to a mountain, there were hundreds and thousands of them following him. And at one point, John the Baptist, you know, when he was prisoned, you know, the king Herod, you know, he was having a party, and he was such a sinful person. He got the daughter of his brother's wife to dance in that party. And as she was dancing, he was very satisfied, he was drunk and happy. And he said, ask whatever you want. And this girl said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a plate. Imagine the persecution these devotees had to suffer just in the hands of, you know, treacherous kings and ministers. But still, they didn't lose heart. That is why Prabhupada very often compares Christ to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur in Bengal, 1500 years after Christ, he was preaching the same message. Love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. He was preaching that message. And you know the similarity? Jesus Christ actually got 12 of his disciples and said, this preaching business is getting very difficult for me. Do one thing. Go from door to door and tell them, please, please, surrender to God. Love God. He said, I am sending lambs amidst a pack of wolves. You will be hurt. But be wise as a snake and be gentle as a dove. That is like the instruction Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu got. Shakal dare dare gya karoi bhikkha laho krishna bhaja krishna karo krishna shikha. And Haridas Thakur, because of chanting the names of Krishna and openly spreading Krishna consciousness, he was also persecuted. The Ghazi said, stop this nonsense. He said, Haridas Thakur replied back, খণ্ড খণ্ড হয় দেহ যায় যদি প্রাণ তবুও না ছাড়িব বদনে হরি নাম। He said, you can cut my body into 10 million pieces. You can take my life away, but I will not stop chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And see, look at the similarity. You know the prayer Jesus Christ taught His disciples, the first lines? Our Father, Thou art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be worshipped. And every religious tradition stresses on worshipping the names of the Lord. Right? Prophet Muhammad, who came several hundred years later, 700 CE, he said, listen to the 99 beautiful names of Allah. But I shall not give you the 100th name, because that is a secret. Of course, we Vaishnavas would like to say we know the secret. Each and every prophet who came in the East or in the West, anywhere across the world, they stressed on chanting the holy names of the Lord and giving your heart to spreading their holy names. Right? Sometimes people say, oh, all your incarnations are born only in India. What happened to the West? You have Ram, Krishna, Balaram, Matsyavatar, Nishinga, everything happens only in India. Kurma, yes, thank you. Only in India? No. The Lord appears in each and every part of the world, either Himself or through His devotees, but depending on the time, place and circumstances. And I got a quote here from the New Testament, which says, where Jesus says, but to what shall I liken this generation? He was so frustrated that people were not accepting His message. He said, but to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in a marketplace and calling their other companions. They don't take me seriously. Right? And sometimes this example is given that what is the difference then? What is the difference between New Testament and our scriptures? Is it? The essence is the same. The foundations are the same. Right? The difference is the Lord sent His devotee in that very fallen region of earth, right, to preach according to their level of understanding. For example, imagine the difference between a Chambers Children Color Dictionary and an abridged Oxford Dictionary and a Merriam-Webster dictionary. You know, they're all dictionaries. Right? One of them is very small, pocket dictionary. One of them is a little larger. And the other one practically has everything you would ever look for or need.
Right? Webster's unabridged.
Webster's unabridged. Thank you, Acharya Prabhu. Right? If you're, you know, all these scriptures contain the basics, chanting the names of the Lord, loving God, loving His devotees. They all have this, right? But imagine the place Christ was preaching in. Just for saying these simple things, He was crucified. Right? Or the place Abraham was preaching in, or Moses was preaching. He said, you know, or Muhammad was preaching. He said, don't have relations with your own mother. What kind of a society is it? Right? So, they had to speak according to their level of realization. But these devotees are pure devotees. And the other thing that Christ kept on telling His disciples is that keep faith. This process works. To that extent, He showed several miracles. Several of them. Right? But He hated showing miracles. He said, this is not my main purpose. He could heal. Okay, fine. But that is not my main message. At one day, you know, He was flogged by thousands of disciples and they had no food. They just had 7 loaves of bread. And some people say that there was also fish, but I disagree, because there is enough evidence to say Jesus Christ was living on simple food like bread and honey. right? And when, like, for example, when the first version of the Bible was translated by King James, right, that's when they put in different versions of meat and fish and all that. The word in Greek is phago, right, which means food. The New Testament that we have is translated from Greek. And the word that is used in the New Testament is phago, which is food. The word for meat or, you know, any kind of flesh is krias, which is never used. But again, as I said, as religion progresses for the sake of our own sense gratification, you know, things are changed. And that's why Krishna says, this knowledge that I gave to the Sun God was lost. Right? We have ample evidence to believe that Christ would never commit the same. You know, he would walk his talk. He would never practice. He would never preach what he did not practice. And he kept on saying, have faith, have faith. And one point, they were traveling in a boat, and there were terrible thunderclouds and huge storm. And his disciples, and he was sleeping, his disciples woke him up and said, get up, you're going to drown. He said, why don't you have faith? And he looked at the clouds and said, and the clouds went away. At another time, he was walking on water. And one of his disciples, right, he said, come. And his disciples tried to walk, and he kept on dropping the water. And he said, why can't I do it? And Christ said, because you don't have faith. At another time, he said, you know, if you had faith of the size of a mustard seed, this much, you could actually move mountains. And I have this example of a Christian ministry in the U.S. Their congregation was increasing so much that at one point they thought, we need a bigger church. So the pastor came and said, we have no money, but we want a church. And if God wants, we will get what we want. Right? So he said, to get a new church, we should pray and we should have faith that Christ will give us. And, you know, it was on the valley. They said, we should have a huge church on a mountaintop. On there. And he said, for the church, we should keep a all-night vigil. We should pray all night. And I am sure the Lord will help us. He said, if you believe, if you have faith, please come. And 80% of the church did not come. He said, how can you raise money just by praying? It's not possible. So the pastor went ahead anyway. Right? The pastor went ahead anyway. And he said, you know, with the 12 or 13 people he had, he was praying all night. And you know what happened? There was one big corporate that was making a hotel. And they said, we need a particular kind of stone. And only that mountain has that stone. And he came to the pastor and said, you know, I understand this mountain looks very beautiful from your church, but do you mind if you break the mountain down? Because we need the stone. In fact, we will pay you for all the stones. And he said, this is the power of prayer. This corporate came, they tore down the whole mountain, they actually made the whole place flat for them to build a church, and also paid the money for the church. Faith can move mountains. Krishna says, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. One who has Shraddha, one who has faith, gets the secret message of the Lord. Right? And at one point, towards the end of his life, when Christ came to the temple of Jerusalem, he came in and he said, what you're doing here is a big crime. You have made the house of the Lord a place of business. And he came in with his disciples and started breaking the shops and, you know, screaming at them. And he's basically brought the whole place down. And he said, wait, what are you doing? And he said, give me a chance. I will break this temple of the Lord and make a new temple in 3 days. And they started laughing at him. He said, how are you going to make it? He said, well, a temple is not made of bricks and stones. A temple is made of the devotees of the Lord. It's in the heart of the devotees. Right? And we have the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Mama mana mandire rahonishi din Krishna murari. Right? Krishna murari, stay in my heart. Bhakti and priti, love and devotion, is mala chandan. Havi prema pradipe arati tamara. I'll offer you arati with the lamp of love. Right? Our heart is the temple of the Lord. Right? We should always carry Krishna in our hearts. Krishna is always there, it's just we need to realize. And because he was messing things up, he was challenging authority, they caught him. Pontius, he was one of his disciples, betrayed him and handed him over to the governor, Pontius Pilate. And then he was destined to be crucified. And as he was crucified, he was crucified with two more thieves. And even on the cross, he was saying, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Titikshava karunika. Tolerance and mercy. Surida sarva dehina. Friends to all living beings, even those who killed him. He knew how to walk his talk. He knew how to practice what he preached. He said, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, show him the other cheek. If somebody wants your coat, also give him your cloth. If somebody wants you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles for him. This is Vaishnava compassion. This is Vaishnava nature. And even on the verge of death, as Prabhupada said, even on the verge of death, he was blessing them, telling, praying for them. How many of us would actually want to do something like that? And how many of us should do something like that? Anyway, so according to the Christian tradition, Jesus Christ was resurrected 3 days after he was crucified. And he appeared to his disciples, and his disciples in the first instance could not believe that a dead man could rise. But there were others, right? Mary Magdalene and his mother said, no, Christ is there. And he told one of his disciples, you're fortunate that you see and you believe, but just imagine, how fortunate are those who have not seen but yet believe. Right? It's a life of compassion, of love and of faith, and of sacrifice. It's an example that I personally have been very inspired by for years, and many others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very close to Reverend Dahl of the Unitarian Church. He spent hours and hours and hours with him discussing. And at one point he thought, let me join the church. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took a lot of inspiration from the theological seminary of the Christians in Srirampur in Bengal. He actually learned this whole art of printing books. He took inspiration from them. And Srila Prabhupada was in Scottish Church's College, and he studied the life of Christ, and he was very inspired. And at one point, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada was criticizing Jesus Christ, saying, he's not proper, he's not proper. Prabhupada said, no, don't blaspheme your own Acharya. He is our Acharya, he is our teacher. So today I have taken the opportunity to glorify a great Acharya, not exactly from Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, but who embodies the very principles that we live by. Right? Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections? Yes. Oh, sorry.
I think I was watching one video where one of the early disciples talking about the miracle that took place, that he was gathering money for Lakshmi to build temple, and then all of a sudden on the street get hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. The Shyamsundar Prabhu and Shyamshita Prabhu told me, actually this year he was in the hospital and I was serving him and he told me that thing. He said one morning they were walking for Mangal Arati and, you know, they were in a fix, and it's like they didn't have money. And as they were walking on the street, very early, like 4 a.m. or something in the morning, suddenly, so much currency is like floating in the sky. They're falling on the ground. Yeah, they got it. At another time, this is Satyaraj Prabhu was telling us that he wrote an article, actually, it's online, krishna.com, mm-hmm. That Prabhupada tried to print his Bhagavad Gita as it is for several years without success. And he asked Brahmananda Prabhu, one of his disciples, to go to Macmillan Company and said, just present them this manuscript and they will accept it. And Brahmananda Prabhu said, you know, it's like, how can you be so sure? Because we already got rejected by so many places. Prabhupada, just go. And when Brahmananda Prabhu went to Macmillan, you know, the editor met him and said, you're right in time. We have a whole series of religious books and only Bhagavad Gita was missing. we were looking for an author to write the Bhagavad Gita and you just brought in a manuscript. Thank you very much. You know, that's how the Bhagavad Gita was printed, the first Macmillan Bhagavad Gita. Several miracles happened, and at one point Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and a magician came and, you know, he was showing magic tricks. And, you know, at one point he was taking coins out of Prabhupada's ears. The devotees were pretty upset, but Prabhupada was amused. He was like, coins coming out of ears. And after he finished, he asked, so can you do some miracles? Can you show some magic? And Prabhupada pointed to his disciples and said, they are my miracles. They are my miracles. Their lives have been transformed. Any other questions, comments? Yes.
Prabhu, I heard many times from the devotees that Krishna had become impersonal. Krishna was personal.
Yeah.
But I also heard that when he spoke about the Father, he was actually talking about Brahma.
Really?
Brahma.
And I got pretty confused because what you said is right, that once you read Bhagavad Gita, or once you understand a little bit of Vaishnavism, then the whole Bible is clear like water. So I got confused and I wanted to know.
Well, what Jesus Christ was talking about is Jehovah. Jehovah is more like an anglicized version, but you know, YHWH, or that's how they write the name of God, right? And Prabhupada very much accepted that. You know, he says, "I'm the Son of God." Right? He's the Son of Jehovah. And Prabhupada said, names of Jehovah, several times Prabhupada said, you chant any names of God, and one of them is Jehovah, the greatest. Allah is, you know, the most merciful. But the most suitable name of God, according to our understanding, is sweet and attractive, Krishna.
Yeah, you spoke very nicely. I'm glad to hear this nice appreciation of principles of God consciousness as they're manifested in our Western religion. Ironic that you're coming from India.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the only person of faith for Acharya Prabhu. Both of us. All of us. This side is from India, from the other side, and we are talking about how God appeared in the West. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
As thinking of Yeah, what I was thinking was that, Jesus was sending them out into the lions, And actually, when Hari Suri was here last summer, we were telling him, I forgot what exactly we were talking about, how it came up. But it's a fact that, actually, Tamil Krishna Maharaj once told me that when they find out what we believe, then they don't like it. So actually, and Hari Suri was saying like that this summer, we live in a bubble, actually, our devotee community. But the general society and world today is very hostile to the basic principles of God consciousness. And in the beginning, there were deep programmings and so on. Remember in 1976, Satsrut Maharaj, he was feeling very. He had to go to the academics and beg for some authorization, because the anti-cult movement was mobilizing a lot of pressure. So he was, at the same time, the academicians were appreciating Prabhupada's book, so he was soliciting some support from them. And he was feeling a little oppressed by this brainwashing accusations and so on. They even had a court case where the temple president in New York was being charged with, brainwashing and like this. And then they asked Prabhupada, he expressed some disappointment like that. And then Prabhupada said, "Why are you worried about just a few allegations? You should be prepared for the firing squad. That, the people will execute you." That's what you should expect, actually.
That's what happened also in several parts of the world, right? The police were executed. You've read the book Salted Bread?
I know, I had that. Somebody gave it to me and then it disappeared.
Yeah. Their families actually had to escape Armenia.
Mm. Right. Kazakhstan.
Also Kazakhstan now. And in Africa, this lady, Prabhupada disciple, Ladini Mataji, who was shot.
She was trying to protect the other devotees.
Yeah, and Prabhupada said you have to prepare for the firing squad. Devotees have to be persecuted. Look at the early Christians, and there's so many of them. And John the Baptist, such a great Vaishnava, such a great devotee, he's just, he's beheaded just because the dancing girl says, she has a fancy, let me have his head on a plate. Okay.
They're martyrs.
Yeah, and that's why even 2,000 years later we remember them. Right? Haridas Thakur. So many of them. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. They had to undergo huge trials and tribulations for us.
Now we you know, oh, we're growing. And for example, here are practically, we're established as a minority religion nowadays. And also we have one of Stockholm's oldest and most popular vegetarian restaurants. And that, although that was considered to be, when we first came in the 70s, it was considered to be something outrageous. Or
obnoxious.
Yeah, vegetarianism was like, you know, what do you eat, grass?
That's what they asked me in India.
In India?
Yeah, so what do you eat, grass?
What do you mean?
When people hear that I'm a Bengali and a vegetarian, it's like, so what do you eat?
Even in India.
Even in India. So you're not way behind. You're catching up.
So, however, there, you know, Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, you know, there's not the chakra like Krishna was killing the demons, but Lord Chaitanya, he kills the demoniac mentality with the Mahamantra. It's a different mood. So our fighting is a little undercovered.
Except
because we're one of the real battlefields is in each of our own hearts. Here we are waging this conflict there. We're divided. We all have within us the possibility of being a herd, becoming the demon, but that we have to struggle with daily, this rebellion against Krishna. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Some thoughts that you're... I also grew up in this Christian tradition, you know, and so when you're speaking about it, you know, reminds me of my primary loyalties, you know, my father and my mother, you know. So it, like, brings up these feelings of, you know, where am I at now? Sometimes we become complacent, and so it's nice to hear this, especially from a young, promising potential leader in the Krishna consciousness movement. Soon we're on our way out, these old Prabhupada disciples. And soon there will be a transfer of the generation shift. You know.
But you are our foundation. And then in turn, and someday we have to exit and we will become the foundation for some other generation. Like I think it's like relay race that we used to, when we were kids, we used to play relay race. So somebody had to carry a bottle and run, and then run to a certain distance and then give it to somebody else, and your job was over, and then he would run further, and then after a certain distance, then he would give it to somebody else, and then he would run. And that's exactly how traditions continue, parampara grows.
This reminds me now, actually, of one thing that I did intend to mention tonight. It's not 100% on the subject, but it is actually. It was about, as Mataji was saying, sometimes the religions, they become impersonal because the founder's original charisma somehow gets watered down, and his principles, they become compromised because we have this strong tendency by spreading, you know, it actually succeeds in taking root because of the original purity. But then when it takes root, then people compromise. Like you were saying, that changed the Bible. holy word, from food to
meat and fish,
yeah, just for their own purposes, the roof spreading, the Roman Empire, whatever, you know. So the point that I was trying to make was that Krishna consciousness has to really become rooted in the culture of learning to love Krishna. And this will happen when there's really, committed families who raise children to be Vaishnavas, to love Krishna. So in the homes, that's actually where the real spreading of the movement is preserved, you know, in the homes of committed families. Here we are in the Acharya Govindanandini home here, you know, so this is like this is the real place where Krishna consciousness movement will spread. You know, it's not in an institution or, you know, that. There's so many evils, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta, he warned, there's so many evils in the institution is, you know, easily corrupted by temptations of worldly ensconcement. You know, when you become established in this hierarchy, it becomes very, very easy that the principal spirit, original purity of God consciousness, Prabhupada's bhakti mission, it will become slowed down, you know, in this worldly establishment. You know, we see so many examples, just like the Salvation Army. They were, like, from the beginning, out on the street chanting and, you know, singing. And now they're very well established. They have a very substantial organizational structure, you know, and they're, you know, rather respected. But, you know, when I first heard Salvation Army, I was thinking salvage, you know, somebody coming to collect the old furniture, you know.
That's what they do, right?
That's what it wasn't salvation. It became, you know, it's like something totally mundane. You know? So Krishna consciousness, however, will spread. I just wanted to say this tonight here, because we're in the home here of a family committed and to bringing up children as Vaishnavas. So this is actually the place where Krishna consciousness will spread and remain pure.
Could he say? Yes, Rob.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss, I think for devotees is a rather important topic, the fourth command, because so many devotees, they come from the Christian background, and I want to ask you, do you know by heart the whole fourth command, no?
No.
Because if I translate it grossly from Romanian language, it says that you should worship or respect your parents, to live long life on the earth and live prosper.
From what I remember, it says you shall respect your parents.
Only this.
Honor thy father and mother.
Okay. Honor your father and mother.
Honor your, yeah.
It's also a Vaishnava principle. Unless they are against you. It's like, for example, Prahlad Maharaj, even when Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him, He kind of, okay, Krishna will protect me. That's the ethos. Prabhupada mentioned that if they are against the practice of your bhakti, create a situation where you can practice bhakti.
Okay.
If that means living separately, fine. But on other times, when, you know, I've seen several examples, several ISKCON leaders tell this to people, that if you have a conducive atmosphere at home, stay at home and practice bhakti. And, you know, I think we had a discussion on this a few months back on how do we deal with parents. And from our shastras, I'll give you specific references later on. Just remind me if you want. It is actually imperative that we respect, learn to respect our elders. It's there. And, you know, I've been a devotee quite some years now. When I was trained by my grandfather to do kirtan, singing, dance, chant, japa. I heard from our grandmother all the Puranic stories, but they were not in ISKCON. When I came to ISKCON, I was told, Now, my grandparents, they had association with the Gaudiya Math, and previously our families were connected with Bhaktivinoda, and you know, we have a root going back. When I told that, you know, we do these things, they said, no, you know, they are demoniac. Right? And only after several years, you know, I understood the value of what they gave me. In fact, for practically 13 years, or 12 years, I was heavily preaching to my father. Heavily preaching to my father. You know, you do this, do that. If you don't do this, this is bad, this is good. And then after 12 years, it's like, okay, gave up. I wanted to do my own thing. If he didn't change, he will never change. Strangely, when I stopped preaching to him, my principle, and this is what Ramanath Maharaj and some Ramacharis told me, said, don't preach to them. Just be nice to them, you know, love them as much as you can, and leave them alone. Do your own thing. When I did that, my father started chanting and became a vegetarian. And so did my brother. And my grandmother is also initiated now. When I stopped preaching to them and just started loving them, they by themselves gave up their sinful habits. You know, the love of devotees is very powerful. I received that love and I gave that love and it worked. So sometimes respecting and honoring your parents is also a method of preaching to them. Did I get to your point?
Yeah.
And anything else? Yes.
I would like to ask about like developing Vaishnava relationships, because I heard that like this friendship between devotees, they are like a ground of ISKCON building, you can say. We are trying to build up Krishna consciousness building, and this foundation is this very close kind of friendly Vaishnava relationships. But sometimes one kind of feels, oh, we are so limited, we are so few devotees, you know, we have to say here in Stockholm, we are not so many, and we don't have maybe the same nature, we don't feel kind of so close. But how to anyway, in spite of big differences between maybe each and every one of us, still develop this very close kind of friendly relationship?
Today is Christmas, isn't it?
Dadati.
Christmas Eve. Tomorrow's Christmas. Dadati pratikrahnati guhyam akhati prichati bhunte bhunjayate chaiva sharabida priti lakshanam. Nectar of instruction. When you give gifts and you receive gifts, and you know, gifts are actually a very important thing. Like, you know, you receive a gift, where you keep it in the house actually shows how much you love that person. Right? When I was very young, my brother gave me like something, I don't remember, it's like something very, it's like a piece of mud or something.
Piece of?
Mud. You know, but I keep it in my locker because there is a history to it. And we all have these small things in our lives, like our secret stones, or, you know, things that our kids' cards people gave us. Just a piece of paper, but how we keep it, where we keep it, shows how much we appreciate the person. Right, so giving and receiving gifts is about appreciation of Vaishnavas. Guhyam akhati prichati. Right, they ask about confidential matters of the heart. Right, and you can only gain confidence when you give confidence. If people can trust you, you can trust them. It's a reciprocal feeling. I can't tell you how to do it. It just happens. Right, and then a way to anybody's heart is through the belly. When you feed them and you invite them, right? Tell me, if you are in an Indian train, if you're traveling in India, and somebody came up and said, please have this cup of coffee, will you drink it? Will you drink it? At least it is officially it's written, don't take food from people you don't know. You will wake up 3 days later in some other city. If you're unaware. Yeah? What do we put in our mouth? Food from people we trust. And we only put something in our mouth from sources we trust. Right? So when we invite somebody, that means there's already the exchange of trust happening. When we give food to somebody, that exchange of trust is already taking place. And then you sit down and you exchange confidential words. And there is an exchange of gifts. That shows up. That's how Vaishnava relationships develop. That is the foundation of bhakti. Actually, I have gifts for everybody today. Yes.
It's like when you develop this kind of taste for this relationship, then the differences don't matter at all, or kind of if you have very different mentality.
Yeah, and that is why we were discussing the Mahabharata every night. And one of the things I'll bring up, but I'm just giving a small spoiler, is that imagine if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us were brothers. Imagine, right? Imagine he is the eldest brother, right? And he gambles away our home, all our property, my wife. He gambles away. Am I going to look at his face tomorrow? And then he gambles me away. Hare Krishna. Am I going to tolerate him? And then he says, well, I'm sorry, I gambled everything away. Now you have to join me in the forest for 14 years, 12 years, 13 years. Will I tolerate him? Will I? What will I do to him? I'll probably kill him. Or not look at his face. He's to hell with you. Go away. Right? But the difference is, look at the Pandavas. They have so much to fight for. They have so much to fight against. But they, in spite of all the odds, stuck together. The love they had for each other far exceeded, you know, the differences they had. And Krishna stayed with the Pandavas not for nothing. Krishna was with them because there is no Kalaha. While in the, we'll come to this when we are discussing the Mahabharata war, while in the Kaurava camp, Duryodhan, Karna and Bhishma are always fighting. So even if Bhishma is a Mahajan, Vidura is a Mahajan, Krishna stays away from them. Right, the Krishna stays with Vidura and Bhishma, but mostly the other people, like Karna, Duryodhan, Krishna has nothing to do with them. And interestingly, observe this, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we get that the moment Krishna left this particular place, right, Kali came in. And Kali, in Sanskrit, means fighting and differences. Hypocrisy and quarrel. Right? So, that's the core of Vaishnavas. That's, you know, like, if somebody loves Krishna, how can he hate his devotees? Even if there are differences. Could I? Yes, sure, please. Third, hat trick. Before I come to you, if anybody else has anything to say, please speak up and then I'll get back to you. Anybody else have anything to say? And then after that, we'll have a small kirtan and then you'll go for whatever your program is, prashadam probably. First bhajan, then bhojan. Okay, since nobody is taking your place.
You're mentioning about the faith, that how Jesus actually said that even a little drop of faith can just move the mountains. When one hears that, one becomes a little kind of desperate. Oh my God, you know, where's my faith? Like, the faith, to develop faith is a process, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Can you mention something about it?
Vishma Chakravarti Thakur talks about it in Madhurya Kadambini. He describes several levels. I forget the verse. It's quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangho Tata Anathare Vritti Tata Bhajana Kriya. And he mentions all that. So, he begins with faith. But, you know, how to begin with faith? It's like, you know, a practical example I can give you is, say you are really sick. And you want to get out of it. Apparently, now we are used to it, but just imagine, there is hardly any relation between a white pill and your fever. But we have been conditioned in such a way that we see a connection. Right? Right? So when we pop the pill in, our fever goes away. And when we see the process working, we get faith. Right? If you know, people who have grown up on allopathy medicines, you... If somebody gives you small sugar pills of homeopathy, So how can some sugar and alcohol cure me? But if you have faith and just try it, sometimes it works. It's a question of trying it and having a little patience. That's the practical thing. And then I developed my faith when I saw prayers work. Prayers work, I know it. I know it as much as the sun will rise tomorrow. Because I've seen it work. That's why I have faith. So when we see things working, we have faith. And faith, one of the things faith comes through is association of devotees and execution of bhakti. Then when we are with like-minded people, we see the process work. We know it happens. You don't need people to tell you that you don't have faith. It just happens. Okay, should we stop now? We have a small kirtan? Standing up, kirtan?
Thank you.